Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Pat just was so committed to this city and wanted certainly security like every player does, but also wanted to be here and to win and to, you know, establish a dynasty. And he said, shoot, let's be creative. Let's figure out a way to do this. And I want to be here for the rest of my career and I want to win. And so the discussions on this contract have really been years in the making.
I haven't got to that point mentally where I'm thinking about retirement. I love doing what I'm doing. If it takes me into my 70s, let's roll, Herbie. Doggone it.
This security to go into the community and be able to give back. I can't wait to not only build this legacy on the field, but off of it. And I'm excited for the future ahead for not only me, but the Kansas City Chiefs and the communities that have brought me up so far.
10 years, man. 10 years. 10 years. 10. 10 years! 10 years!
Finally figure out what guarantee mechanics are. Todd Lebo.
Somebody guarantee me something. I don't have any guarantees. There are no guarantees in life for me. Is there?
Doesn't seem
a guarantee?
Like
death and taxes? I'm going to die. Okay.
Yeah, that's
I don't have to pay my taxes. But I'm going to. I guarantee you that.
Gonna.
I don't want any trouble. Welcome to the program. Seren Petro's show is not here, but he was working. He was on the Zoom asking questions. He can't take a day off. He's running around doing interviews all over the country. Turn your phone off, Petro. He's going to be listening right now. Send me a text. Tell me to screw off. No. Well, he might. I don't know. He could.
Possibly.
He could. Seren will be back in this slot tomorrow. What a crazy couple of days. It's been really just a day and 5 minutes it's been with all this news with Patrick Mahomes.
It's been 24 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's been
exactly.
It's been pretty nuts as we watched this whole thing go down. Not a lot of people thought this was going to happen yesterday. I mean, a lot of people thought the Chiefs were going to extend Patrick Mahomes in some way, and I don't think people have been saying for like 18 months, this guy's going to be the richest player in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they knew it was going to be like shattering through all of this. You heard him on the call. By the way, we played the entire Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes Zoom call for you. They were in three locations. Patrick was at home. Brett looked like he was in the office. And Andy, I think, is not in town right now. It looks like that is not a location on the Zoom that we have seen before. I think he's west somewhere.
Somewhere near water.
He looked happy, and he told everyone, listen, don't ask me about your questions. Ask Patrick questions. But
that was
after the Chiefs told us, ask Coach questions and Brett questions, because we're going to let them go, and then we'll ask Pat questions. First thing Andy says, hey, this is great. Don't ask me no questions. This is about Patrick. Ask him questions. Yeah, it was interesting.
That is... That's the happy man right now, Andy
Reid. Oh,
yeah. I mean, how could you not be? Coming off the ultimate accomplishment, and you know what you've got in front of you. I mean, I remember hearing when John Elway was a senior at Stanford, someone referred to him as an immediate cure for coaches' burnout. Well,
right.
that's if there is one of those today, it's Patrick Mahomes. If there was any point in Andy Reid's mind where he thought, doggone it, I'm getting tired of this. 15 will change your mind.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely will. You know, it's interesting in there. You know, Brett Veach mentioned at one point, hey, this is a 10-year extension on this. But we think there's probably another one at the end of this. I mean, because we talked about this a lot yesterday. He's going to be 36, 37 years old when this is up. Now, I think there'll be a renegotiation at some point in there. Mm-hmm. I doubt that he never signs another piece of paper in the next 12 years. There's something will happen in there. But this is not probably the way. Now, listen, if Patrick Mahomes... you know, just has so much money and just doesn't want to do it anymore, that's fine. But we're seeing these guys who are 40-ish playing, and he won't be 40-ish when this is done. He will still be middle 30-ish when this is finished, and could have some more there. So this I don't know. It's crazy. I keep pinching my eyes. Steven was going nuts this morning on the air. You just pinch yourself as someone like you or I who have been here 50-plus years in this city, and we've watched these other cities have this guy. Mm. Not saying that anyone has been as good as Patrick Mahomes or whatever.
Right.
We've seen MVP quarterbacks, Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks elsewhere, and knowing that security blanket that gives to a franchise and not having had that here and how much fun it's still been to be a Chiefs fan for our entire lifetimes, but to see that now and know that it's just the beginning of it.
That's the thing. It, as great as it's been, it's still there's still so much more out there. I don't think, even through an MVP season and a Super Bowl championship, I don't think any of us can fully digest mentally.
Well, and it's been such a weird offseason, too, because they had a parade, and there's been no nothing.
There hasn't been a moment to reflect on it, because usually when you win the Super Bowl, you go to the draft, and everyone's there, and the defending champions, and you go to camp. Now, there's a lot of talk nationally. They always, all the national guys, NFL Network,
everything
and ESPN come out and cover you, and
it's
just not been there. So that it's felt a little odd in that regard.
And who knows?
Not that we have much to compare it to.
Who knows if there'll be football starting on time or not. I've been a little disturbed. Not disturbed. I'm concerned about the horizon, the near horizon for football. If you saw what the NFLPA president, J.C. Treader, the center for the Cleveland Browns, it's already kind of laying the groundwork on the NFLPA website today about player safety and making sure that they're taken care of when they get back to camp, having protocols in place, saying that they're called to not have preseason games, which I'm behind. I've been behind that for years. Yeah. I don't want any preseason games. It fell on deaf ears with the ownership. So we're looking towards something, probably. Hopefully it won't be what happened with Major League Baseball's contentiousness, but
owners,
you know,
they're funny.
It's all of this together. It's just what it is, man. And it happens out in the open. Everything happened in the open with Major League Baseball. And hopefully we don't get there in football. But, I'm not going to be down on that right now. Right. I'm just saying file that away. Rumblings have started with trouble between the players' union and the ownership. So if you thought everything was going to be simple, it's not.
No. Nothing,
that, not to mention everything is happening worldwide, yes. America-wide for sure. We've already got another issue down at MLS's back with Nashville. Their game is postponed. They have not withdrawn from the tournament or been withdrawn from the tournament. It's supposed to get underway tomorrow night. Nashville was supposed to play tomorrow. They're not going to be playing now. Sporting plays on Sunday night. Carter Augustine is inside the bubble. He will join us later today on the show from Sporting KC to give us an up-close and personal look at what's going on inside the bubble. Also on the program, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, one of our favorite people. He will be on in the 3 o'clock hour.
He was also on the Zoom.
He was Zooming.
Under the name Nathaniel Taylor.
At least Nathaniel.
It's the full name.
That's what we call him.
We have one other Nathaniel here already.
He had plants in his background.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful green plants in the background. I like looking. We've gotten to see inside people's homes.
You know, Twitter page?
Which one?
Room Raider.
Mm-mm. Oh, they're rating.
Yeah, they show all over TV, and they make little funny, observations. So and so, hey, nice. There's some fruit.
Most
maybe
of my Zooming
side,
has happened in my office here, with a 1970 Chiefs calendar in the background and a dirty bookshelf, or in our
a bookshelf that is dirty, not a shelf of dirty books.
Well, I don't know. Don't zoom in.
No.
Or in the studio over here, where they see a black sound panel on the wall and a mic stand with no microphone on it. Right. Or Curtis's shoulder today for part
roll.
Of it.
Yeah, if you saw me, I was also
so
there.
I've been Zooming from home on a lot of these Royals calls. I've been moving all over the house. I don't want people to get a target on what I'm doing. I'll be out on the porch with some curtains blowing. I'll be in the study. Today, yesterday morning, I was on the Zoom. We have an accent wall, okay? I got a Barnwood accent wall because I'm all about that. I think it really makes the room pop. This was no way my wife was involved in this. I said, we need an accent wall around the fireplace that we don't turn on. we're going to do this. So I had a little accent wall behind me. Now, people aren't getting
find out what an accent wall is.
Curtis, you need an accent wall. I know you're a renter at the apartment, yes. But it'll be wonderful.
I see. That is nice.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my Zooming, I'm going all around. I'm not letting him, you know, kind of get a target on what I'm about.
Have the cats made an appearance on your Zoom?
No, but
then you haven't Zoomed, buddy.
And here's the deal.
Jets,
I think it was
Zoom.
Friday or Saturday. I was out on the porch, the screened-in porch, and I was trying to make it because I don't want it to be bright behind you because it makes it hard to see. So I was, I put some new curtains up out there, did this, and at one point,
ended up being a silhouette.
Newton, one of the cats, right near the end of the Zoom, had jumped down, and he got outside, and he jumped up, like, next to me, and I just, like, squished him down because I didn't want any trouble from, like, Jeff Flanagan or something. Like, what's going on?
Well, pets made an appearance today. Patrick Mahomes, dogs were...
There you go. Were they as annoying as Jed's cats on our company Zoom?
No, he just...
A month and a half ago?
They weren't annoying.
Dogs are barking, damn it.
You know how to mute?
I actually didn't at that point.
But now you know.
I do.
So we've been Zooming all along, but this Mahomes news is great. Let's hear, we just heard this, but let's hear a couple of things from the press conference.
We'll hear more at 5.
Yeah, we've got lots more to go, and we'll talk about this.
They went 50 minutes today. Yeah, so.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of stuff.
On this Zoom. But, you know, yesterday at this time, we had no details on what the contract was, other than it was 10 years long. Mm-hmm. Then more details started coming out, and now people are going to try to say what the details mean. You know, Pro Football Talk this morning, their post was about how, you know, this is not going to be a good deal for Patrick Mahomes at some point. I saw this yesterday. We talked about this. It felt to me like this was a partnership, you know, not so much a negotiation where someone's going to win or lose. I think Patrick Mahomes understands how important it is to have great players around him. Mm-hmm. I think he understands how important it is to play for a stable franchise. I think he understands how much he loves Andy Reid and Brett Veach for believing in him and giving him a chance to come play at this franchise with these players and showing all the respect in the world to him throughout. There has not been one time where anything has been sour with this quarterback and this team. And you can't say that all around the National Football League. Nope. It doesn't work that way all the time. So, and you can't say that with every player and this franchise. It's been sour between Eric Berry and this franchise or Justin Houston and this franchise, right? It's been sour with you know, name someone. And I'm not talking like Todd Haley times. I mean, with these guys who are here, this coach, and there have been times where things haven't been perfect with this. Not with this guy, though.
No.
And he has a unique background, having a father who played, you know, Major League Baseball, and understand, and having a father who played for like 9 teams in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Okay. And that probably Pat Mahomes Sr. loved being a Major League Baseball player, I think he would have loved to have been the guy who got to play at a place for 8 years or 10 years or 12 years and didn't have to move around and do all that while he had a young family. You know what I mean? All those things are there. And so I think Patrick Mahomes sees the value in being in a place where he's loved. I think he sees the value in being in a place that he can make all this money and not have to pay all of his money in taxes in L.A. and pay, you know, he's got this nice house down there south of the plaza. That house might cost $10 million in Los Angeles, depending on where it is. You buy the thing for, you know, less than $2 million here in Kansas City. There's a real value in that. There's a real value in the fact that we heard that story last year that he and his girlfriend had gone out to dinner and no one bothered them. And then they, you know, paid for everyone's dinner at the pizza place. It's not going to happen everywhere you go. And it's going to be harder for that to happen as we go forward here in Kansas City. But those things like that resonate with someone. And the fact that they won the MVP and they won the Super Bowl resonates as well. So there's a real value in him being here. And I think he sees that and understands that. And that doesn't happen everywhere in sports. And you can have all of that and make hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's really a confluence of elements that maybe are I wouldn't say unique to the situation, but certainly are rare. Not just him, but the position he lands in. He lands in the kind of town you're talking about. With at the right time that Andy Reid's the coach and not some other guy who's, you know, first year or whatever, and he's got the perfect guy, and that wasn't his choosing. It was there. With a young, inventive general manager who, you know, is always looking for different ways to do things, is not afraid to take chances. All those things, the chances that all three of those were going to happen at the same time and place is, I'm going to say miraculous, but it's pretty damn rare. I mean,
it's perfect
the
timing.
The fact that this is all together like this might not happen in the NFL in the next 25 years.
And I've said this before, and I'll probably say it for the next 12 years. You can't calculate how good it was for him to not to have to play in that first year.
Yes.
And never had to go out there and really fail. You know, I mean, it's hard to do when you've never played. That's just a great thing to have. Not to say they wouldn't have been better. He'd have been fine.
I think he'd have been pretty good.
There's a real value in not having to go do that. And we've seen some of these guys go out and have to play and fail. Alex Smith is a wonderful example. This was a guy who, had he met Andy Reid in 2005 instead of 2013, he might have a different thought, what people think of how he is. Mm-hmm. He played for four or five different coordinators and a couple of head coaches and had to play on a bad team from the get-go. The Chiefs were a good team. The Chiefs were a playoff team. They traded up to get a guy. When you get picked in the top 10 generally as a quarterback, you're playing for a bad football team. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And it's all worked out perfectly for him. And Brett Veach, who was not the general manager who picked him, but was the guy who they give the credit to for bothering Andy Reid over and over and over, and John Dorsey. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You can't believe this guy. We love this guy. And they, you know, they convinced the people to trade up and get this guy. And it didn't take him long to realize that this is someone they wanted to have locked up even back then, because he saw how special he was going to be. So this is not something that just popped up last month.
Going back to, I think, the first free agency that I was a part of back in 18, we had the mindset to structure deals to prepare for an extension for Pat. Again, it goes to the level of belief and faith we had in Pat. And this is before he was a full-time starter. Now, the one thing in Pat's favor is, as the seasons went on, the number kept getting bigger and bigger. So we were planning for the normal quarterback market back in 18 for agency. Well, when Pat gets to this point, you know, we'll be right at here. And then, I mean, it took off. So, you know, that certainly was a good challenge to have. But, you know, there it goes back to, you know, my initial statement, just Brant, Tillis, and Chris Shea. You know, I remember when the Trout deal came out, you know, Brant coming down to my office and said, Pat's going to be a baseball contract. I mean, that's how good this kid's going to be. And, you know, we need to start thinking like this. And the cool thing about it is, and Coach alluded to this, where, you know, the maturity level of Pat, in this day and age, it's certainly, you know, you're looking around in 3-year deals, 4-year deals, but, you know, Pat just was so committed to this city and wanted certainly security like every player does, but also wanted to be here and to win and to, you know, establish a dynasty. And he said, shoot, let's be creative. Let's figure out a way to do this. And I want to be here for the rest of my career and I want to win. And so the discussions on this contract have really been years in the making.
That's one of the parts that I think players need to have a voice in their negotiations. You don't want to be the guy sitting there at the table, because although they said this never got contentious, but you don't want to be in the room when the things are going down, but you need to be the lead in the negotiations with your agents and say, here, this is what I want. I want the money, yeah, but I want to be a Chief. I want to be here forever. If that's what you want, you have to tell them that, because the agent, he may not have the exact same goals you have. Of course, they want you to go to the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. They have a lot of players. Now, they're going to be no one in Lee Steinberg or his crew's stable that's going to be as important as Patrick Mahomes, especially with everything Lee Steinberg's been through, from being the guy who had the Patrick Mahomeses of the world 20 years ago to kind of being out of the game. I mean, this has been a fountain of youth for him as well.
Oh, for sure.
And
comeback player of the year.
So, but the players need to – they need to guide the ship in these deals. And I think many times players just let the agents do too much of the work. And I don't think that was the case in this at all. Patrick seems to be someone who was involved to the point of saying, this is what I want to do. Yeah. Make this happen. Be creative. I don't want to just get 25% of the salary of the team and not have anyone around me. He knows that. That's what the length of this contract is about. And they hope there's flexibility to make sure these, you know, there can be good players around him. Because I think we've seen enough times now where it's harder to win on the high dollar quarterbacks than it seems to have been. And, you know, it's all great if you can have a quarterback win a Super Bowl making $600,000, all right? Russell Wilson and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, that was more than that last year, but it's cheap, right? He was not a big part of their cap. It does get more difficult when they take up more of that money because there's just not as much money to go around to the other players. And the Chiefs have a very young team. Mecole Hardman was rookie contract. Tyreek Hill, second contract, but pretty, you know, club-friendly contract coming through. Travis Kelce's on his next one through. But, you know, Damian Williams was a scrap heap guy and making some. And they've got a lot of offensive players that weren't making what they're probably worth making in 3 or 4 years from now. So they have to strike while the iron's hot now. But Patrick is looking past that. He's looking to 20, 25, 26, 27, when maybe these guys aren't here and there'll be other guys there. But he wants to make sure that maybe some of those guys are still on the team if they're worth having there. And I think that is something you need to, as the quarterback, you have more ability to do that than other positions, probably, to say this is what I want to do because you are such an important part of the thing. But I think it's pretty cool that he was more of a partner in this thing than just someone letting it happen.
Well, I think that's when a player is just going to say, just get me my money. He can leave that to the agent because the agent will figure it out. Hey, you guys handle it. I just want my money. What Patrick Mahomes has clearly said is there's a world that I want to construct for myself over the next 20 years. And there's a lot of elements to it. And I'm going to have to play a part in putting that together. I can't just say to Lee Steinberg, get me my money, because that's not all I want. I want the money, and he's going to get a lot of it. But there's a lot of other things he wants to be able to do and to have for himself and the people around him, which is I think that's probably one of the main reasons you probably saw him play a larger personal part in the negotiations than some other players would.
And we've seen this happen in sports, football, basketball, baseball. Well, not so much in basketball because they just are what they are. The deals are, right? But you've seen it. Like, I want to be the highest paid whatever. I mean, he is going to be the highest paid quarterback at some point during this. He's not next year or the next year. There'll be some guys who have more on a certain year or whatever. But I don't think this was built by, listen, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm the best player in the league. I want to make $1 more than the next quarterback. I don't think that's how he's operating. And I think that's a healthier way to do this. There's enough money out there that what he would rather do than be the highest paid is win. Weird thing. Now, it's easier to do when you've already won, right? And you want to have a legacy, and that's kind of what he was about today was, listen, one is not enough. Just being an MVP quarterback and a Super Bowl MVP quarterback is not enough. He wants to do much more on the field.
It's an exciting time. I'm just glad that I get to continue building this legacy in Kansas City. Obviously, with everything going on in the world with COVID and all this different stuff, to have this security to go into the community and be able to give back. I can't wait to not only build this legacy on the field, but off of it. And I'm excited for the future ahead for not only me, but the Kansas City Chiefs and the communities that have brought me up so far.
So there's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he just really wants to be, you know, he wants to be part of this and, you know, part of it. He talked about the communities. You know, he's from East Texas, Beast Texas, they say, Tyler, Texas, outside the Metroplex. He's got a place in Dallas. He loves Texas, right? He loves Kansas City. He wants to be a part of doing those things there. That's what part of his foundation that he formed. He wants to do good things, and they're out there now, you know, trying to get people to register to vote, trying to lead and by example. And that's just a great thing to see from a young player who's got so much going on, because it's simple enough to just say, I'm going to go make my money and play football and do all that. And I think he's just a different cat when it comes to those things. And listen, he's a special player. He deserves, all players deserve to get whatever you can negotiate. But I think this is a special kind of a contract. And I know there will be plenty of people who, you know, get into the weeds on it and say this isn't going to be good or that's not going to be good or whatever. It seems like these guys were all happy, with this.
Yeah, I've crunched the numbers as much as you possibly could. I don't know where it's not good for anyone.
Who knows the future is in 7 years? If there's no football, people in the stands, and this pandemic never ends or something, who knows? I mean, but
get the feeling that in 2026, when he's making 41.9, that's going to look pretty tasty.
Just fine. Yeah,
fine for him, but.
Could be a good deal for them back then, because by then, who knows? There could be someone making more money than him. But like I said, at this point, he doesn't seem to me to be the guy who says, wait a second, I'm still the best quarterback. I want to make one more dollar than the other guy. I don't think he's that guy. Things can change, but I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah, I think we would have seen it by now, right? I mean,
I think
Or at least you see, maybe you see something in another area of his personality.
He really seems to be the guy
that makes you think he would be that way in that situation. We've seen none of that either.
He seems to be the kind of guy right now, don't know, could change, who wants to go watch Texas Tech play in the Final Four still, and wants to go watch the Stanley Cup Final if it's close, and wants to go down over Thanksgiving if he's got a day off and watch Tech play Baylor, if they're still playing that thing on a Friday or something. I mean, he seems like that guy right now. Maybe it'll change. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to change all that much. I don't know. But like I said, he grew up a little differently than a lot of these guys. Not everyone who plays in the NFL grew up with a dad who was a professional, Major League Baseball player for like 10 years and has those experiences and understands kind of what team and locker rooms, clubhouses, all those things going together. So I think it's a unique deal, and it's worked out perfectly so far. I know there's some disappointment. The Chiefs didn't win two Super Bowls in a row. Okay.
Certainly wasn't because
they hosted an AFC championship game for the first time ever in that stadium.
Ever.
And then they did it again the next year.
Ever in any stadium.
And then they won it.
For them, they've never hosted.
And then they went to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl. So what are you going to do? Do it again. That's what you're going to do. And they better do it again. They're paying this guy all this money.
I'm saying.
What the heck? Hadn't he won a Super Bowl since February?
He has to win. I think he has to win the championship every year.
Every year?
Or it's a failure.
Curtis Seabold calling this a failure.
The albatross of a contract.
I'll tell you this. If they never win another Super Bowl, that is a failure. I don't know. But we're not putting that pressure on them right now. Hey, the Royals had an inter-squad game. We'll hear from Mike Matheny next. We'll take your phone calls as well. 913-3810-810. If any new thoughts about the Patrick Mahomes contract, if you think it's good or bad. I can't imagine there's someone out there who thinks it's bad. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts at 913-912-4810. And as always, tweet Curtis Seabolt anything. He will respond with anger on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
He has the body of Adonis, but the eating habits of Homer Simpson.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program. Without Soren Petro, I'm Todd Lebo, and with Curtis Seabolt, Jed Marshall. Soren Petro will be back tomorrow.
It's the Lebogram.
The Lebogram. You could send one of those. Maybe. I don't know. Western Union Lebogram.
Lebogram. Lebogram.
We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. But,
smell a new segment coming up.
Lebogram. Lebogram? Leabrogram. You could do it that way.
I don't think we can.
Or not. I'm going to be up to early tomorrow morning. I've told everyone you need to take some days off. Mm-hmm. And so then Nate's taking a couple of days off. So I'm going to come in and be in tomorrow morning on the Border Patrol. It wasn't very smart of me, was it?
Steven
will do all the work.
One of those things where when you agree to it, it seems like a great idea. Then it gets a little closer. You're like, oh, man.
Well, yeah, that's a nice idea. Really, I forgot I was going to be doing this till 6. And then
NFL Live, KC.
And that
too,
tonight.
Rocking the mic.
It's 7.
Leave it a long day.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. I'm going to go home early tomorrow. Mark it.
No. We'll see.
You may not see me. I don't know.
I get here at like 9:30. I'll see you.
Maybe I'll leave the Border Patrol early. It's possible.
It's like 8:45. Seems like Todd, what do you think about that?
I don't know, buddy. Gone.
It's just nothing.
Join you from the car.
Jake's like, yeah, he left an hour ago.
Who knows? Who knows? But
he goes to you when you're on your cell phone on 470.
I don't know, man. You let me know. I'm tired going home.
We had the studio doors open. The out to the patio. It's just really windy, man.
Sorry. No, I'll be in doing that, and then for a couple of days. So you know, we'll do all of this stuff as we go. Royals had their first inter-squad game today out at the K. It was fun too during the Zoom for Patrick Mahomes. Some of the people asking questions, like our good friend Sam Mellinger, was out there in the Diamond Club watching the baseball.
Must be nice.
Like we're seeing all the you have to pay to be in the Diamond Club. It's just the place that they let you go sit. Mm. Not a place that our journalists normally can afford the seats to. Mm. Not the crown seats, just the Diamond Club in there. But that's the open area that they allow the media to work at right now. So there were many people on the call asking questions from there. It's just wherever you are is where you are in today's world. But they had their inter-squad game out there today. And Mike Matheny, Royals manager, in his second Zoom of the day, because why not? Because it's summer camp, said that I think everything went okay out there for their first time doing the center squad.
Another level of intensity, giving the guys a chance to compete. But I thought we did a pretty nice job of staying in the strike zone. Saw some nice swings at times. You know, I'm not a lot of offense, but kind of talked about that, how we thought the pitching would be a little bit ahead of the hitting at this point. But you know, watching Nicky Lopez and Mondi both, you know, put together some really good swings. MJ had a nice out on some good velocity. I think you're also seeing guys trying to get used to Midwest Kansas City humidity and seeing a lot of trying to find a dry spot on them already, which is what it's good training. And so trying to figure out that process, trying to understand what the league's going to allow still. Or are you talking about towels and that sort of thing? So just another step forward.
Mike Matheny following the Royals inter squad game today out at Kauffman Stadium during summer camp. Sweating. Can we use the towels or not? I don't know, there's going to be some strange things.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of protocols in place. We've already talked about the, you know, you're not supposed to, pitchers aren't supposed to go to their mouth with the hand, right? You're not supposed to be spitting. You're not supposed to be high-fiving. And now are you going to have, you got to get your assigned towel, right? You know, pitchers are going to have their own rosin bag, I guess. You're not going to use the community rosin bag back there. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that'll be happening. And these guys will have to kind of get themselves used to it. But, you know, I talked to Skip this morning, and, you know, there's been the conversations about testing, and there were several teams that didn't practice yesterday because they're waiting on test results. Things have still gone okay for the Royals.
Have canceled. I think the Giants canceled theirs.
And MLB is trying to find another lab to help them with the amount of tests they have. As I told you yesterday, everything was running through Salt Lake City at this one lab, and now they're trying to, you know, find another place so they can have a couple places to send these things. But there's a lot of tests going here. And here's what we know. When the season starts, right, there will be less players to test every day because you're not going to have 60 people there or 54 people there.
25.
Right? It'll be 30, 28, 30. 26 as they go down. So those numbers will go down. And I think they'll have a better handle on, you know, who and someone who will have already had it. Maybe they won't get it again. I mean, Salvador Perez, we still don't know for sure if the antibodies will be there or whatever. Mike Matheny says he took the antibody test. And he has the antibodies now, but he's still going through all the protocols and testing because he doesn't know. So you'll probably get more negatives if you get more guys who've had it and the antibodies. That's kind of the way this thing could go through. And the thing we'll have to kind of watch, we'll talk to Carter Augustine at 4 o'clock, who's down inside the bubble for the MLS's back tournament. In the bubble, and some of the tests came from outside the bubble into the bubble, Dallas, you know, had some tests, and then they you know, flew on a plane.
Yeah.
They were together, and they get more guys get sick because they're on the plane. All those different
guys on planes who had it and didn't know they had it until they landed and got tested.
And then now they have more guys who have tests.
Yeah.
And so once they're there inside the MLS bubble, you'll have the thought is less chance to catch this because you will be in the bubble. They've got places they can go. They can even go play golf. There's some places they can go in there, but it's not, you know, the gin pop is not running around with these guys. Right. Okay. So when baseball starts, right now, it's pretty controlled. Now these guys go home to wherever they live, in a house, apartment, whatever. They're, by all accounts for Kansas City, have taken this very seriously. And you know, are being socially distant, wearing masks, not going out and getting themselves in a situation. We haven't seen a whole bunch of tests come back positive, but maybe more will in a week. I don't know. But on the 23rd of July, they're going to get on an airplane, and then they're going to fly to Cleveland. And who knows what then? Maybe we will look back, if things don't go well for baseball, and say they should have done some sort of a bubble thing, which they seem kind of resistant to doing. And it's harder to do with that league with that many guys and the series and all that stuff. But they are all going to be traveling via charter. They will not be with a bunch of people, and the people who are flying the planes and all that, they will all be tested. That part's going to be fine. But as we've said over and over and over again, this is mostly has to do with your personal responsibility outside. Even if you do everything right, you can still come up with a positive test. It's possible. You can do that. But they will have protocols in place that you and I, although we've got our own protocols here, we're doing the best we can here. Yeah. And we've, you know, knock on wood, been pretty good around here with no issues. And we're trying our best to do all these things the right way. But you're looking at this demographic, our group of people here, we don't really maybe have the means to go out and have as much fun as a young Major League Baseball player or whatever with the money here and there.
Not as much temptation.
We're kind of just some old dudes, right? So we'll
get up, we go to work, we go get dinner, and we go home.
And we'll see how it works out with these leagues. What they have to all understand is how important it is that they do their job. Because if they end up having all these protocols, I mean, you know, at Kauffman Stadium, when you walk from the clubhouse in the hallway to the media room where they do Zooms, you have the mask on, right?
Yes.
When you walk and then you sit down there, you take the mask off because you're in that room and you need to talk on the Zooms and all that. You know, when you're in the media and you go inside those gates of the stadium, you have the mask on wherever you go. Right, that's not the way it's working everywhere else. Probably in your own home, and it's not the way it's working. Some businesses it is, some businesses it's not. So they have all these protocols in place there, and they have it for a reason because they know they want to keep this thing happening. And if you don't do these things when you leave, you bring something in, it can mess the whole thing up.
What you do in the bubble or in whatever situation you're in the clubhouse, it's not going to matter. I mean, it has to be a 24-hour thing. And I wouldn't be much of a risk because I really don't do my, I take my mask off at home, but I'm the only person who lives there. I don't have anyone else that would be around there. So, you can't 100% remove it, but there are ways to greatly decrease it.
Absolutely.
That's a huge amount of trust to put into other people when all it takes is one or two or three of an enormous amount of players to mess something up, and it completely overturns the apple cart, and one causes something else, and that's basically how it has got to this point. It wouldn't take much, I think, to fire off an epidemic within the sport if just a handful of guys get it, and because you can't, you don't know the minute you get it. You know, alarm bell doesn't go off. Oop, you have COVID-19. Now go away.
Well, the one good thing we have going for us is there are some protocols in place if someone has it. You know, in March there were no protocols. Rudy Gobert tested positive. Sports are over. Okay.
Yes.
Now, if someone tests positive, Salvador Perez tested positive.
Right.
We got a protocol. The Royals are still out here having an inter-squad game. Salvi's just sitting in his house. Okay. Yes. He's going to have a couple more tests, and if he gets two negatives, then he can come back and participate. So they have protocols now. But you don't want to have to put those protocols in place. And I hold professional athletes to a way different standard than I hold the college kids. Okay, the college kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. And it's not their livelihood. It's their life, probably, because this is what they do. You know, they want to go play football. They want to do that. But it's not their livelihood to go do this. So if you're a professional athlete, and even if it's only a third of the money you're supposed to make in Major League Baseball, if you want any of that, you need to make sure you do all these things the right way. Yeah. For soccer, these guys don't make the money, for the most part, that Major League Baseball players make. So they need to make sure they do their best to continue their sport from happening. They have a wonderful opportunity with MLS to get some attention.
Yes, for sure.
Starting tomorrow night, when there's no sports happening yet, they're going to get a head start on some of those other sports, and they've got a partnership, and they're going to have these things on. They've got a chance to do something here, but they need to do it all right themselves.
But you've already got an entire team that's ejected. That's not
and
the greatest
team that
start.
Had to postpone, because Nashville had that as well.
Yeah, so
913-3810-810. I got these other phone numbers up here. Text 913-912-4810. On the program, Nate Taylor is coming up at 3 o'clock.
The program with Soren Petro.
Curtis.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro, courtesy Bolt, Jed Marshall alongside. Nate Taylor from The Athletic joins us at 3 o'clock to talk about, Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, possibly?
Maybe.
No?
Let's
yes?
See.
No?
I thought we'd have him on to talk about this interleague game or inter-squad game.
We'll see what he thinks about it.
I think
first
he was out
question.
There.
No, he was in front of his plants at his house.
Yeah, that's
I already
right.
told you that.
I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, I know you weren't. Carter Augustine joins us from Orlando inside the bubble at 4 o'clock. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Ben Kirchival from CBS Sports talk a little college football for you. And we will sprinkle in stuff from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Brett Veach throughout the story, throughout the day, the show. And I got a text here. Who says, even elderly people have been over 99% chance of not dying from COVID. Da, 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 all that. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter if MLS or MLB players are going to die from COVID. The thing is, if they too many of them get COVID, they just won't play the games. Okay? Right. This is a different thing entirely than what society is dealing with from a medical standpoint. It's whether or not they're going to have the sports happen. And if they have a bunch of people with positive tests, there's no real fear that these professional athletes are going to die or be on ventilators. They just are not going to have them out there playing if there's a bunch of them testing positive, because it'll spread that. So you need to take out everything you watch on the news or read on Facebook about whether or not COVID is real or you're going to die or anything. Take it out of your head. It doesn't matter. It is here, and if a bunch of players test positive, they will not play the sports that you love.
Yes.
That's the way you have to think about this. It's just a different thing entirely. So it doesn't matter what you think about it. It is what it is. If they have like 10 players on a baseball team test positive for COVID, and the protocols they have in place say they have to be down for 14 days or on an IL, or have to have two negative tests before they come back, if they don't have enough players to play, they will not play the games. So just put the rest of the stuff out of your head.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's immaterial what you think about anything. Right. This is what it is.
The term "it is what it is"
is for this.
This is what it was made for.
And
it also assumes that if you don't die from COVID, that you're okay. There's only two impacts you can have from COVID. Either you're die or you're all good.
Yeah, there's some middle
Not
ground in there.
True.
Okay, but if you're
mostly middle ground.
If you're asymptomatic. And you have no effects whatsoever, and you can still play, they're not going to let you come out there if they think you can spread it, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what matters. And there's been a whole bunch of positive tests. Kansas is not having college football practice right now because they had too many tests come back positive, and they're not going to spread it throughout their entire team. That's just a reality. Doesn't matter if you like it or not, it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas State shut their program down for a while. They're starting to reopen or recheck in. Soon, and they will be back there trying to practice on the field at Manhattan to get ready for a college football season that we hope happens. Whether or not there's going to be people in the stands or students on campus or whatever, we kind of want these things to happen. That's what we want, okay? So you just need to put the rest of the stuff out of your head. They have protocols in place for all of these deals, whether you like them or not. They are in place. And just if you don't believe it or don't think someone's going to die, you have to be 90 years old to die or something. That's fine that you think that, but that's not the rules that they have in place that they've, in Major League Baseball's case, bargained, right?
Right.
You know, they went through, remember the part where they weren't maybe going to play or do anything? They bargained these things all out, and they have a set of protocols and rules that are in place that they're going to follow. And there are standards in place that if you have too many people who are positive, whether or not they're going to die or not is immaterial. It's whether or not they're going to allow them to try to play the game. That's what you need to pay attention to here. But I appreciate the text. 913-912-4810 is the number to send us text.
Focus on the prize here.
But the main thing is the main thing. If you want to play the game, you can't be positive on a COVID test. They're not going to allow you to play the game. It's just a different job. I can be a positive COVID test and do my job almost entirely from home. I could do that. You can't do that if you're a Major League Baseball player. You have to be in the batter's box. Unless we play this MLB 2K, Jed style, with the 05 Royals.
It's MVP on GameCube. Not quite the same.
Didn't get to finish that season. Whole thing died.
COVID, man.
COVID got his video game. Nate Taylor from The Athletic joins us next on the program.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, counting the postseason, how many quarterbacks have thrown more touchdown passes in their first three seasons than Patrick Mahomes? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.